Hey friends, today on the Danny Morrell Show, we've got a special guest. I am joined here by Tarek El Moussa. I said that right?
You did. Okay, good.
So we're off to a good start already, who I think we have a lot in common with. Yeah. I can already tell this is going to be an incredible podcast, so I want to welcome you to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited about this because I feel like our life stories kind of intertwine a little bit.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. So we have things to talk about.
We really do. So you started off as a real estate professional.
Yes. At 20 years old, I got into the real estate business as a salesperson.
Okay, got it. I got it. And what got you into the real estate business?
Man, so from a young age, I always knew I wanted to be successful. A young age, I always knew that I was never going to make it by going through school.
Right.
It just wasn't for me. And, you know, when I got out of high school, when I was young, 18, 19 years old, I was selling kitchen knives and I was delivering pizzas. And I was always looking for a way to make money. I was trying everything.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was selling the kitchen knives, Cutco. Have you heard of them?
I have, yeah.
They come to your house, they cut the rope, they cut the penny. Yeah. Anyway, so I lost my sales book. And back then, I was actually making real money selling these kitchen knives. And man, I lost my book and I literally put myself out of business. Every lead was gone. Every contact was gone. Every order was gone. Everything was gone.
How'd you lose it?
I just lost it. I was a 19-year-old kid. I was spastic, you know, I was disorganized.
Which by the way, like my higher self told me you didn't lose it. I mean, I know why you lost it because, you know, a lot of times doors shut so that other doors can open.
New ones can open.
Absolutely.
So I find myself standing at an ATM in Cerritos, California. And I'm totally broke. I'm looking at my account and I'm just like, there's got to be a better way, man. And I remember I looked up to the right and there was a crooked sign. It says Wise Old Owl Real Estate School. It's true. So I looked at this sign and I'm looking at the ATM. I look at the sign. I look at the ATM and that's it. I walked over and I signed up for real estate.
Good. I love
it. And that's how I got my license. It was back in 2003 at 20 years old.
Okay. I love it. And so you started selling houses.
I started selling houses and I love telling my real estate story because my real estate sales career is the foundation of everything I know about business, everything I know about real estate, and everything I know about communicating with people. I learned through being a real estate agent.
Right.
And it was really tough. You know, I always say you can be the most motivated, hardworking, driven person in the world, but if you don't have direction, if you don't have guidance, if you don't know what to do, you're just never going to do anything. So now I find myself as this 20-year-old kid, completely broke. 6 months in the business, sitting on floor time all day, every day, sitting open houses all day, every day. 6 months go by, I get zero sales and I am totally broke.
You know, before you go any further, isn't it so interesting how the brokers and the leaders in the industry don't really tell you or teach you what you need to do in order to win?
They don't. Yeah. And you're a real estate coach, right?
Yes.
Okay. I owe every single thing that I have today to coaching.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for coaching,
I feel the same way.
I wouldn't have a worldwide TV show. I wouldn't have a second worldwide TV show. I wouldn't have investment companies. I would have nothing.
Right.
And the reason I got into coaching is because I was a 20-year-old kid sitting in office after 6 months with no income. And at the time, I was living in my mom's garage. I had broken up with a girl. She had rented out my bedroom because my parents got divorced and I couldn't afford the $300 to rent my room.
Uh-huh.
So I was living in the garage. It was like a real garage. Uh-huh. Spray paint cans, dirt bike, jet ski. And I remember I was listening to these ladies in my office. They were talking, you know, real estate agents. We chat around the office talking about how stupid real estate agents were for paying this guy to teach them how to sell real estate.
Right.
So I remember thinking, like, wait a minute. You're telling me, because I was 20 and knew nothing about business. I was like, you're telling me I can pay someone that's going to tell me what to do and I'm going to make money.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was the idiot that signed up that same day.
Yeah.
And
I was too.
Yeah. Here we are.
Well, look, when you want it bad enough, you just
you'll do anything.
Right.
You will do anything.
Right.
And it was the lowest financial point of my early life. I was all in. It was like I put it on my credit card and I was like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm giving you 90 days to make this happen.
Right.
And what happened was I went from being 20 years old, living in a garage, completely broke, to 90 days later, I had earned $120,000 in commissions.
Wow.
Right around my 21st birthday. And I had just closed escrow on my first almost million-dollar home.
Wow.
So when I talk about real estate, I always say in real estate, you're not going to be worth $100 million overnight.
Right.
But you can make life-changing money fast.
Fast.
I completely changed my life in 3 months.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, it's so interesting you say that. When I... many of my followers know this. When I lost everything, at the time, I told my ex-wife, Claudia, I said, look, and I, when I say everything, I mean we couldn't afford like a gallon of milk.
Lunch.
Anything, yep. Right? Food for the kids, anything. I said, listen, you're not going to see me for 6 months. But I promise you this, at the end of 6 months, we'll be able to afford a place again. We'll be able to afford our cars again. Life will be better.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was like 6 months later, I think I closed 30 deals or
that's
something.
That's it.
Like
it. You just grinded it out. You just went for it.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do, man. I talk about going all in all the time, and that's what I did. And it was funny. You know, there's so many different little stories within my stories, but I was still going to school at the time. I was in a class from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at night, and it was about the geological sciences of rocks in Canada, right? Uh-huh. Like, I'm like, okay, how is this going to make me money? Like, I don't even know. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
So I remember it was my second week into the expired listings, and I made all that money in 90 days, cold calling expired listings.
Mm.
That's it. Phone sales. And I was sitting in class at night, and I remember it was the second weekend, and I had just got my first listing going after expired listings with 1.6 million. And I remember I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't stop obsessing about it. I couldn't stop thinking about getting back on the phone.
Right.
And I was sitting in college that night. I made a commitment to myself, and I make decisions pretty fast. And not a commitment. I asked myself, am I going to move forward with college? Am I going to move forward with real estate? Or am I going to move forward with both? And I knew I couldn't do everything.
No.
So I made a decision that night to burn the boats, as they call it. You know, yeah. You go to the island, burn the boats, you can't leave. So I decided that night to go real estate and dedicate my life to real estate. And when I make a commitment, I make a commitment.
Absolutely.
So I left my backpack in the classroom. I left my calculator in the classroom. I left my books in
the classroom.
Oh,
you're a lot like me. Wow.
I left every single thing I had that had anything to do with school.
Right.
So I can never go back.
Right.
So what did that do for me?
You had no options.
No option. I put myself in a position where I couldn't fail. And because I put myself in that position, it made me become successful because I had no other option.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So you're selling houses. How did you get into buying and flipping and then eventually on TV? How did that work out?
Man. So selling houses, you know, just like you, 2007 came around and I was a young kid. I was 25. I had a $1 million house, Mercedes, BMW, like all this cool stuff. And it was like overnight. Gone. Like, right. Not gone. It's like, wait a minute. Like everything right. changed like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
6 months later, I find myself living with a roommate in a shitty apartment, driving my dad's old beat up truck with no air conditioning and going to Subway with my ex-wife, splitting $5 footlongs, stealing lemonade.
Right.
That's how bad it was.
Right. Yeah. I've been there. I know.
Yeah. No, I know. And you know what? I wouldn't change it for the world.
Well, it makes us who we are.
Man, it made me so strong.
But you know, there's a lesson here, guys, and I'm going to say this because everyone that I speak to that went through that sort of pain, it's not like we couldn't make money. It's that we made money and we spent it on dumb things.
Yes.
And I want to talk to you guys about that. You don't realize this right now. There's a lot of you that are really, really young that are following people on Instagram. You know I have an Aston Martin. You know I have nice things. I don't ever try to like portray that too much on social media. What a lot of the people you're following do, and here's why, is that whenever you are deeply insecure in your own personal life, you need nice things to validate you and make you feel better about yourself. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that.
Oh, I can.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's such a crazy world today. You see all these people on social media posting their Ferraris and Lamborghinis and Rolls Royces.
Half
like,
of them are renting.
It's like shit, it's like, bro. That's like $4,000 a month. Like that's not money. That's like making out shit. Like you want to show apartment buildings, show real estate, show assets.
Show businesses.
And like
show,
you look at my page, you don't see all this flashy crap on my page, you know, because that's not an image I want to portray.
Right.
And the people that truly are successful, it's like, yeah, you just got to be careful who you follow.
Be very careful. I would say, out of 20 people that are out there, like, you know, influencers, I maybe only two are
you're good. You're a lot more optimistic.
I mean, honestly,
you're more optimistic.
Yeah,
than me.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. But we'll keep going. We'll keep going. So then you start buying and flipping houses.
Yeah. So it was, you're gonna like this part, this one. So it was, so I lost everything, 25, 26, found myself completely lost, all these bills, couldn't make money. Like it was like mayhem. Like
right.
You know, you remember waking up and just being pale, looking in the mirror and you're looking at a ghost. I feel like I was looking at a ghost every day.
Right.
Like, that's not even the same
dude,
guy.
Dude, I remember.
Like, not even the same
no,
guy.
No.
And then, you know, the short sales start coming around, man. And I used to just hammer all the IE, man, door to door in the middle, 112 degree heat. Just ding, ding. I go to the doors and I'm just wet, just like right. It's raining outside, man. But you know what? People respected me for it. I would show up to people's houses dripping.
Yeah.
But I was committed and I had no other option. Who's going to pay my bills? Who's going to knock on those doors?
Right.
I didn't want to do that shit. Of course right. I didn't want to do that. But I always found the only way to become successful is to dig deep and do the things that other people aren't willing to do.
Yeah.
Right?
At least for a period.
At least for a period.
Absolutely.
You have to.
You have to.
And that's when I started seeing investors flipping houses and I start seeing opportunity and I'm like, wait a minute. I just negotiated the short sale and sold it to this investor. He's going to make $100,000.
Right.
I'm making like $6,000.
Right.
And negotiating short sales in 2009 and 10, it was like the Wild West.
Right.
Like, it made no sense.
Right.
It was seriously. And then I started pitching everyone I knew. I was like, I got to flip houses. You just buy low, you fix them up, you sell high. There's money in the middle. I can do this. So I start pitching everybody, every single person I know. I'm talking about people at the drive-thru. Like, I'm talking about everybody at Starbucks, at Pizza Hut, at school, like everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, I built a relationship with a good friend of mine in business. Well, now my full-on business partner, Pete DeBest. He's big in mortgage. And he's like, yeah, I'll do a flip with you. So we bought our first flip at auction in Santa Ana, California in 2010.
Uh-huh.
And here's where it's funny. So just bought that first flip, paid $115,000, and everything went wrong. Like, everything went wrong. I electrocuted myself. I painted the baseboards to the floor. Like, it was just a nightmare. But the one thing that went right was I made $34,000.
That's good.
And coming out of 2007, 8, 9 to make $34,000 on a flip, it was like $34 million. Like,
No.
It was like, I got this.
I can do this. Yeah.
You do it once, you can do it twice.
That's
how I got the expired listings. Everybody's like, so it doesn't work. They say, of course they say no.
Right.
Because you talk to 10 people, you talk to 50 people, you need to talk to 10,000 people. I always tell people, like, your job isn't to go on listing appointments or get deals. I say your job is to talk to as many people as you can. And those will eventually turn into listing appointments and deals and things like
that. Sure.
So bought my very first flip. At the same time, like, next day, I'd go to Las Vegas for the Mike Ferry Real Estate Convention.
Uh-huh.
And we're sitting in the very back of the real estate convention. And in the very front row, two seats opened up. You know, the conventions, that's where the ballers sit, the players sit. You know, I was a young kid, good looking, kind of good looking, like, dressed nice.
He's confident.
Nice,
I'll give
nice
you that family, much.
A little bit, you know, decent looking. You know, like, presentable is what I'm trying to say.
Presentable, yes.
So we ended up going, me and my ex-wife, we ended up sitting in the very front row.
Uh-huh.
And it was in Las Vegas, and I went out the night before, and I was really hungover, and I was not feeling so well. And someone, one of the guys in the front row noticed that, because I was kind of pale and a little sweaty, uh-huh. And he runs over and he brings me Advil. At the break, all the guys from the front row come up to me and my ex-wife. They're like, who are you guys? Like, what are you doing up here? We don't know you. And it turns out his name was Brady Sandahl. He was a real estate agent.
Oh, Brady. Palm Springs. Yeah. Yep.
This is how I got the idea. And I started talking to him. He's like, yeah, I got a local TV show in Palm Springs. And, you know, I go to the grocery store and, like, people recognize me. And I'm like, okay, but you make money. He's like, yeah, I get listings. So
right.
The very next day, I'm sitting on the couch and it hit me. Bam. We need to get on TV.
TV.
And then it hit me. Damn. How do we get on TV?
Right.
Then it hit me.
Right.
What if we flip houses on TV?
Right.
So I actually pitched the house flipping TV show before we ever flipped a house.
Wow.
So I've done everything backwards, everything wrong, but it always turns out right.
I love it.
Because I'm willing to do what it takes.
I love it. Yeah.
And it's just very important to make that commitment. So it was a wild ride. And here we are. I'm shooting the 9th season of Flip or Flop right now.
Right.
My new show, Flipping 101, where I teach people how to flip houses, premiering this year. And I couldn't be happier.
Good, man. And so we have do you know Jesse Rodriguez?
Yeah, I know Jesse.
So, how does the TV world work? Is it something you genuinely enjoy? Is there money in it? Or is it more of, by getting on TV, you end up making money in other ways?
Both.
It's both. Okay, good. Okay.
I would say there's a lot more than people realize. And there's a lot more opportunity than people realize. And I was able to, you know, go from a poor kid in Buena Park, California, to build what I have today through just hard work, leverage, TV, and real estate.
I love it.
And I just started a new house flipping coaching program called Homemade Investor. And it's going to be a global company. We're going to teach people around the world how to flip houses.
I love it. Good for you.
I think we have 27 events on the schedule right now over the next 6 weeks. Quite a bit.
Wow.
Small event, so,
I love it. Good stuff. So I know for you've been through some personal obstacles.
Yeah.
Like we all have.
Yeah.
So you were sick for a while.
Yeah, and I had cancer twice.
Cancer twice, which I don't know if you know this, but my buddy Isaac.
Yeah, he was just telling me.
Yeah, and so I don't know if you have a doctor, but we have an incredible doctor. But yeah. tell me about that. What happened?
Well, actually, one of my viewers was watching my show, a nurse out of Texas, and she noticed like a big lump on my neck. So she emailed
the, whoa.
Yeah.
Same thing.
She emailed the production company and was like, hey, this is not a joke. I saw the email. Tark needs to go to the doctor, get his neck checked out. And right when I got that email, I knew something was wrong because I had already gone to my doctor twice because I was having a hard time like clearing my throat and I felt pressure and they were telling me it was allergies and gave me Flonase and like it's just,
dude, it's the same thing.
They did no due diligence, no homework. They didn't do their job. So when I got that email, I went to a different doctor and they did a biopsy and it came back atypical. Atypical means it could or could not be cancer. Like so they wanted to do an exploratory surgery.
Right.
And it was supposed to be under the knife for a little bit. And it turned out that I was under the knife for 5 hours. They removed my entire thyroid. They removed a bunch of lymph nodes because that had spread. And I remember when I woke up, I was looking up and my ex-wife was just staring at me vertically, you know, crying. Mm-hmm. And the first words that came out of my mouth were, I have cancer, don't I? She said, yeah.
Mm.
And that was a scary moment. And it got worse. So
how long ago was this?
This was 2013.
Oh, so we're talking just a couple of years ago. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And because of the misdiagnosis from that doctor, we looked through my old medical records to see if there was anything else missed.
Mm.
And then I had an irregular physical exam. So just as a precaution, and by the way, after he noted it was irregular, he never gave me referral, never gave me instructions, nothing. So just as a precaution, I went to get an ultrasound. And I was in the ultrasound room with the x-ray tech and we're talking, he's from Huntington Beach, actually local. And we're just shooting the shit, hanging out. And, he got real quiet on me and you know, I'm in sales. We read people for a living and I'm like, oh crap. I'm like, all right, hey, what's up, man? Like, what's going on?
Just like, give it to
and
me.
And he's like, oh, nothing. So I'm like, listen, like you just got like completely quiet.
Right.
So you got to tell me, he's like, I'm not a doctor. I'm like, dude, like what's going on? He's like, you're in pain. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're in pain. Cause if you're in pain, the emergency room's down the hall. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in pain, man. 10 minutes later, I have a surgeon walk in scheduling testicle removal for testicular cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was thyroid cancer. And then right after, within weeks, found out I had testicular cancer. And it was a real rough process, man. But I got through it and I filmed the TV shows through it. I more than tripled my company the year I had cancer. And I just dug deep, man. I gave it everything I had.
Hmm. If you don't mind me asking, I don't know if you know, we don't know each other, but I recently went through a divorce and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And, you know, thankfully our family is whole. We're good. We love each other. But one of the good things that came out of it, I think for both of us, was that I went on a spiritual journey last year. One that completely changed my life. And I met a guy in Bali. You ever been to Bali?
No.
Met a guy in Bali who he calls himself, because he really is, superhuman. And one of the things he showed me is that a lot of the illnesses and things that we get, they stem from deep-rooted emotional trauma.
Agree.
That we experience during the ages of 0 through 7, because when a child is being formed, those are the ages where they essentially learn what love is, right? And so I don't know about you. I'm like, my audience knows I'm as vulnerable as all heck, but you know, some of the things that I went through in my life, specifically like in my divorce, so forth and so on, came from the fact that my mother's mother died the day after she was born. So as a little kid, I didn't necessarily feel that love coming from a mother because I don't know if she knew how to give it, quite frankly, you know? Have you had a chance to look back on your life and see maybe that's where it came from? Have you done any of that at all?
My rock bottom was so bad that I completely changed who I was.
Hmm.
I completely changed who I wanted to be. And I'm just completely different than I was, because I never want to feel the pain that I felt.
Right.
And I knew I had to make changes and I knew I had to do it for myself. I knew how to do it for my kids.
Yeah.
I feel like I've completely shifted my mindset 180 degrees. Yeah. And it's just wild how trauma can change you.
Yeah.
And I call it trauma because it was the most painful experience of my life.
But at the same time, the greatest gift.
The greatest gift, yeah. And the most painful experience. And I wouldn't change it for the world.
I wouldn't change it for the world
it
either.
It opened my eyes.
Yeah.
I know what life's about now. And I didn't know before.
I didn't know.
I was out there trying to make money every day to impress people and buy bullshit. That's not what life's about.
No.
Life's about doing something big, proving to yourself you can do it, giving back, sharing knowledge, helping others, and just creating something that you're proud of.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. If you had a piece of advice for someone out there that's watching, specifically relating to what you went through and the changes that you have experienced, what do you think that advice would be?
You know, it's funny, man. So I was driving my car around Newport Beach. I think it was about 2 years ago, just driving in circles. I'm sure you've done it mm-hmm. while you're going through your shit. Mm-hmm. Just driving. It's like mm-hmm. my safe zone, just circles.
Right.
And I was so angry. And I remember just like frustrated thinking, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. This isn't fair. This isn't fair. I got screwed here. I got screwed here. And then it hit me. Life isn't fair.
Mm.
Life isn't fair. Like, it's not fair. You can only control yourself.
Right.
You can't control others. And life isn't fair. And once I acknowledged the fact that it's not fair,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, it's time to get over it.
Yeah.
It's not fair. Stop dwelling on it. There's nothing you can do about it. Tough shit.
Yeah.
Life is not fair. This is your opportunity to start over and never make the same mistakes twice.
I love that. You know, and I'm going to share something with you guys. Tarek, I don't know if you've ever heard this or thought of this, but one of the things that I learned that I am clear about now that I wasn't before was that we are the creator of our lives.
Absolutely.
Whether we realize it or not, we are attracting people, circumstances, problems, victories, based off of what we deeply feel inside. So I don't know if you're hip to like meditation or breath work or any of that, but those are activities that I have found have absolutely changed everything for me. I literally don't start the day without not only exercising, which I'm sure you know is important, but also with spending time with myself, because it gets me centered with who I am, with who I want to be. And also I spend time visualizing the attraction of what it is that I want to create in my life, because we genuinely are the creator, you know?
People just need to get off their ass and go do something. It's like, you know, like I wasn't happy and I did something about it. You weren't happy and you did something about it. And I feel like so many people are unhappy, but they're not doing something about it.
No,
it's just like business. You got to take action. If you don't take action, you're not going to improve. You're not going to get fixed. Like to completely rebuild who I am, it took a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And the spiritual side of it for me, I really found hot yoga as an outlet, being in a hot room, sweating it out, being so miserable and dark and deep and hot that it took away all my stress in the world because I was just trying to survive the class.
Right.
You know, so I don't know, you just got to do it for yourself.
I think if you're out there watching, you know, I think that the reason why people don't get, because you see, people like you and I get it.
Yeah.
People like you and I, you drop us off in a third world country and we'll eventually become millionaires.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. We'll find a way, we'll knock on a door, we'll dig up fruit, we'll do whatever it takes.
Whatever,
you know what I'm saying? The thing that I have found after coaching and helping so many people is that I think the underlying reason why we're like that is because we believe that there's a rainbow. There's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
That's it. I was just going to tell you, the reason other people aren't doing it because
they don't believe
it's going to happen.
They don't.
But the problem is it's not going to happen because it doesn't take 10 hours of work. It doesn't take 500 phone calls. It doesn't take knocking on 1,000 doors. It takes knocking on 10,000 doors. It takes 10,000 phone calls. So people just don't believe. That's why when I talk to people, I'm like, forget the results. Who cares if they hang up on you? Who cares if they slam the door on you? Who cares if they try to run you over? Like, I'm serious. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because eventually you'll find something. Because business is nothing more than a mathematical equation. It's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game.
It's math. All the way from Coca-Cola runs their entire global company based on a mathematical formula.
Right.
Customer acquisition, cost per lead. It's nothing more than math.
That's it. That's all it is.
And I think people, especially real estate agents, need to understand that it's a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything in life.
Yep.
You just got to talk to more people. You talk to more people, you get more opportunities. You get more opportunities, you get more deals. You get more deals, you get more money. Get more money, you have a brighter future. The problem is they can't get past step one.
Stop getting hung up on the meaning you give to things when they happen. Somebody hangs up on you. Somebody runs you over, as you said. Somebody closes the door on you. You make it a meaning. You make it mean expires don't work. You make it mean flips don't work. You make it mean. I'll tell you guys something right now I haven't said before. We lost over $100,000 last year on a couple of bad deals that a partner of mine did. See, I don't make it mean that I'm out of the flip game. I just make it mean, okay, no problem. I just need to adjust my strategy a little bit. That's it. That's
because you know what it is? It's
for some people, losing $100,000, I'm done.
I've done it.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, now you look at it. Okay, I lost 100 here, but I made 900 over here. So now
it's all good.
It's back to being a mathematical equation.
It's all good.
You add it up, you average it out, you're still profitable.
It's all good. Absolutely.
People just get so hung up. And I say, like the most important part of success is mindset.
The
bottom line, hands down, the most important part of becoming successful is mindset.
Absolutely.
You have to believe you can do it.
Yeah.
That's
I love
it.
I love it. I'm going to ask you, just because I went through it, right? Feel free to share or not share, whatever, but you went through a divorce.
Yeah.
What did you learn from that experience?
Ooh, I learned that communication is the most important thing in the world.
Yeah.
I learned that I needed to be more open. I needed to be more understanding. But at the time, I was just a different man. I thought I knew what life was about. 4 years later, looking back, I know that I did not know what life was about.
Right.
And I feel like once you find your purpose, once you find your path, once you understand why you are the way you are, I think it shines and everybody around you sees that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just making it through the tough times.
Yeah.
That's it. You got to survive the lows to enjoy the highs.
It's so interesting you said that. You know what I found? I found through my process, and again, I'm so blessed because Claudia and I are literally like, we talk every day. We're friends. Trip on this. We're so close. We're thinking on putting on events to help people that are in relationships to not make the mistakes that we made.
Man, that's awesome.
You know,
I've actually thought about that.
No, for sure.
I've thought about that.
No, yeah. Seriously. Because and the other thing is, you know, for all of you that are out there divorced, stop blaming the other person. You know, look within yourself, right? Because you can't control what anybody else did. So if I'm honest with myself, one of the things that I learned was I wasn't man enough in that relationship to speak the truth.
That's it.
Point blank.
Yeah.
I would feel something. I would sense something. I would get upset about something. And in order to avoid conflict, which in my mind was doing the right thing, I would shut up about it and I would keep it inside. That's not being a man. That's not being a leader. That's being a damn coward is what that's being, right?
Yep.
Instead of speaking your truth, instead of communicating and saying, no, this is right and this is wrong, you bottle it up until 12 years later, you explode and you become something you're not happy with, quite frankly.
It.
You know,
that's man, exactly. We've been through a lot of similar stuff.
Dude, you're like the white version of me.
Yeah, right? I'm telling you.
You literally are, yeah. Yeah. But the good thing is we're still here.
We're still here. I'm not going anywhere. I say it all the time.
No.
I am just getting started. Every day is the first day of my life, man.
Yeah.
I'm just getting started.
I love it. Tell me, just a couple of final questions. What do you think about the real estate industry? Because it's changing a lot right now.
In which aspect of it?
Just the residential resale industry. What do you see?
Different companies coming in like Zillow, buying houses off homeowners, and it's scaring real estate agents. But there's one thing I do know about people, is regardless, they want guidance. They want their hand held.
Yeah.
And they will pay for a good service.
Absolutely.
I'll pay for, like, I buy transactions with the real estate agent sometimes just because I know they're going to do a better job than I do.
Than you did, right.
For myself.
Right.
I don't have the time to, you know. So you just have to be good at what you do. You got to be a shark. That's it.
I love it.
But, you know, I don't know. I think the reason, I respect real estate agents so much, like legitimately more than anybody, because I know how hard that business is. Dude, I was making 500 to 600 phone calls a day, two headsets.
I had the two headsets. Yep.
Dude, people thought I was crazy. I showed up every single morning at 7:30 a.m.
Yep.
And I left every night at 9 p.m.
That's exactly.
And all I did all day was make cold calls, knock on expired listings. And if I had no listing appointments, I'd just stay on the phone. People thought I was nuts.
Yeah.
I
remember those days as well.
Locked myself in that office. I built everything I have today started off in a cubicle.
So interesting you say, it's so interesting you say that because there's two things that I know is I notice nowadays. Number one, nobody wants to start in a cubicle. Everybody wants to be given an office.
Yeah.
And they don't produce, like in the broker world, they don't produce enough to even like pay for the office because the splits are so low,
right?
But nobody wants to earn anything nowadays. And number two, and I say this, look, for my people that work for me, you know, I love you, but you know, I could come in here at 9 o'clock at night or so. And I remember vividly, I'd be in here till 10:30 doing whatever it took. And for me to see, and we have 400 agents, for me to, I think maybe two or three are here at that time.
You know probably have the same problem with me because when people bitch and complain to me, I get frustrated because I think about what I went through to get to where I got. And then I look at their production. I look at the amount of hours they work. And I'm thinking, you don't even put in half the hours and you're complaining.
Yeah, so, I'm a little different. I don't get mad. I wish they could see what was possible.
Right. I get frustrated.
Yeah.
But like for me, my first season of flipping houses on Flip or Flop, when I signed the contract, they wanted 13 houses in 10 months. Okay. I had done 3 houses the entire year before.
Right. You had to go figure it out.
I had to figure it out. So you know what I did? I was doing real estate every day until 9 p.m. And then I used to leave my house every night at 10 p.m. And I would drive to Murrieta, Rancho Cucamonga, Rialto, West Covina, Los Angeles until 4 in the morning. Every night I would drive overnight by all the properties going to auction the next day to see which ones looked vacant. Because if they looked vacant, I can bid on them. And I can bid on them because I didn't have to evict them.
Right.
So like when I talk about work, man, I was putting in 20-hour days.
I love
that's
that.
That's legit. Like my ex-wife will even tell the world like 20-hour days.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
But you know what happened? Figured out how to flip houses, exponentially grew the business, created the most popular house flipping TV show of all time, and the opportunity that was created, it was worth the pain and suffering I went through.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I just think the real estate industry as a whole has a really bright future, and I think real estate agents, they have so much opportunity. And I think real estate is the absolute best business in the world.
Yeah.
And like my biggest thing I talk to real estate agents about, it's like, listen, man, you are halfway there. You need to start investing in real estate.
Yeah.
You are halfway there. You know how to analyze property. You know how to find property. You know how to manage property. You know how to rent property. Start investing in real estate.
I love it. Be your number one client.
Be your number one client. Every single real estate agent should be a real estate investor.
I love it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, awesome getting to know you, man.
You too, man.
Awesome getting to know you.
Great time.
Guys, another episode of the Danny Morrell Show. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. I haven't asked you this, I don't think, in over a year, Isaac. We haven't asked them to go give it a thumbs up, a rating. What do they have to do?
Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, subscribe.
Subscribe, the whole thing. Share it with family and friends. And if you're not following, how do they follow you or get to know you on Instagram?
Oh, on Instagram, I'm at @TheRealTarikElMoussa. And if you are interested in getting into house flipping, you can check out homemadeinvestortickets.com because we are going all around teaching people how to flip houses.
I love it. Maybe, who knows? Maybe I might go learn a little bit from you myself. I love it. So we'll see you there. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for watching this edition of the Danny Morrell Show. As a quick reminder, Relentless is coming up. Go to relentlessevent.com to secure your seats now. And if you haven't been to our new website, visit us at dannymorrell.com. You can check out all of our upcoming events on the events page to see when we are coming to a city near you.